Have a couple people help me with the pass out the elements. And one thing that we don't do in here is race through communion. We take our time so we can receive the benefits that God has given to us through the communion. Not a religious ritual. Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. The way to discern the body of Christ is to actually look at that bread and see that sacrifice. God wants you to see Jesus in His sacrifice. He wants you to see Him on His cross. Not the Hollywood picture of it either. He wants you to see Him marred and beaten and bruised and tore up. He wants you to see Him carrying all your sins on Him. Now God gave us specific directions on how to make, this is matzah bread, by the way. And this is exactly how God said to make it, to take communion. This matzah bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the body. Now if we're going to discern the body of Jesus, we're going to have to discern that His body was without sin. Also, if you look at this bread, you'll notice that there are stripes in this bread. And it's by His stripes that you were healed. Notice that's past tense. Your healing has already been paid for. All you have to do is receive it. Believe it and receive it. And if you look, this bread has holes in it. It's been pierced. Jesus' body was pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed blood, you get redemption in some area. It would behoove you to look up different places where He shed His blood. He shed His blood when He swept blood at the Rock of Gethsemane. He shed blood when they put a crown of thorns on His head. He shed blood in His hands and in His feet and certainly out of His side when he got pierced. Sometimes people think I'm crazy for saying this. But if you ever get a chance to go to a Catholic church, go to the wall and find the Stations of the Cross. The Stations of the Cross are different places that Jesus shed His blood. They point them out. And if you'll go and look at those different places, and there's two prayers. Pray the top one. Don't pray the second one to Mary. Pray the top one that helps you to see and receive these different things that Jesus did for you when He shed His blood. Amen? This is a biggie now. This bread has been beaten flat. He was beaten and bruised for you. If you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for you and I was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took it all. You've already been judged, and you've been justified freely by His grace. When God raised Jesus back to life, you were justified freely by His grace. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. When we see Him in His sacrifice and receive from Him, we receive the best form of love that He could ever share with us, to His sacrifice. So, Father, we're taking this. We know full well what Jesus did for us. in that sacrifice. And we thank you for it. We receive your healing and your life into us. And just in case, if you haven't noticed, that matzah bread tastes much better than those little white wafers that they pass out that stick to your teeth. It's amazing what man has done to the things of God. That shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. This whole world was never the same. The minute that blood touched this earth, everything changed. This blood did the one thing for man that man could never figure out how to do. It made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. You're in right standing with God. It means everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus, never to be remembered by God again. So, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. We have a guest speaker today. And his name is Dennis McKinley, and he's been a partner with this church forever. But he was up here helping toil the ground before the church even began, I think, wasn't it? Pretty close. Okay, it was pretty close. Okay. Well. Ouch.
Hallelujah. Get a twitch. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Good to see y'all. About testimony, there are three powerful ways to release God's power in the earth: praise, prayer, and our testimony. Revelation says we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. His blood, our testimony. And about thanksgiving, giving thanks, you know, Jesus said, weren't there 10 that was healed? Where's the other 9? So giving thanks to God. Now, I want to say that, where did Skeet go? Where's he at? Oh, okay. Well, I'll say this while he's gone. If y'all aren't pleased with your pastor, you can blame Jay Ward. Hi, Brother Jay. I asked about you yesterday. He said you was going to be here. I'm glad to see you. But several years ago, Jay came to me and said, Dennis, we got to have a pastor. So I started calling and searching around, and God just puts things together, you know. It's just wonderful how he does things, and hallelujah. So I believe you are pleased with your pastor, because it's growing. Must be getting fed. Hallelujah. Well, let me get some notes out here so I'll know when to quit. That's not it. I got too much stuff in here. Yeah. All right, I'll get my Bible out. Now I got to get my glasses. Actually, these are not just reading glasses. I did get some prescription glasses, so I'm trying to learn how to use them because they're bifocals, but they're actually trifocals. So there's no line. You got to realize what you're looking through. Anyway, hallelujah. Well, let's. how many of you brought a Bible with you? You got a Bible? Hold your Bible up. If you brought your Bible, hold your Bible up. This is my Bible. Just repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it. Every word of it. And I'll do what God says. What His Word says. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been given a great responsibility, and I want to read, if you got your Bible, turn to Matthew. We're going to do some Bible reading today, and not a lot, but Matthew chapter 28. By the way, I'll share that here in just a minute. We get through Matthew. Matthew 28, last chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read it, verse 16. And these are the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended to heaven. When the 11 disciples, verse 16, went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. I have something that I've said for a long time, and it is this. I'm going to share with you what it is, and then I'd like to say it again, and I'd like you to repeat after me, if you would. And it's this. I have been given this extraordinary gift of life and the urgent task of passing it on to others. Would you share that with me? All right, repeat after me. I have been given this extraordinary gift of life and the urgent task of passing it on to others. Thank you. Now, on that note, the last time I was here, if I can find them, I left some gospel tracts, cowboy gospel tracts. I don't know if they used them all, they took them or whatever, but it's a great way to share the gospel, you know, if you're a little, I wouldn't say cowardly, but, you know, you're just maybe a little tempted. Oh, that's a Jesus freak, you know, whatever, he's passing that stuff out. But, you know, these little pamphlets, you know, they never get embarrassed. And they're just there, and somebody will take it and they'll put it on the dresser, and at the appropriate time, when the Bible says that unless the Spirit of God draw a person or a man, no one can be saved. So at a perfect time when God is dealing with that person, going through a trial or a problem or something, and they'll get hold of that and read it and pray the prayer. And thus starts their extraordinary life, Jesus. So, anyway, so I brought these are, by the way, really, they're courtesy of Mr. Jim Dyer. He 2 years ago, or last year was it, they had the National Finals Rodeo in Fort Worth, or over there. And I was going to pass out. Over the years, I've passed out tens of thousands of these different ones. And anyway, I needed a bunch, and so I told Jim, you can sow some seed in some good soil. So anyway. So I've got these. I'm going to leave these there here if you all would like to pick some up, and they'll be at the back of the church. But anyway, in fact, I'll share. Jim has a man that he knows, and he's having some health problems, and he not doing very well. And so Jim wrote him a letter and didn't know if he wasn't saved. I think he cusses quite a bit, Jim, didn't you say? You know, so maybe that's an evidence he maybe is not born again. Anyway, Jim wrote him a letter and sent him a tract. And I knew an old rancher that his daughter was concerned about his salvation, her dad's salvation. And he was pretty old. And she took one of my tracts and she left it on his nightstand by his chair. And she just wrote him a little note. Dad, would you read this sometime? And if you prayed this prayer, would you just make a mark on it or something? And he passed away, and they were at the house going through things, and she found that tract, and he had signed it. Hallelujah. And he was in his 80s. Hallelujah. So anyway, so we have a great a great life that Jesus has given us. You've probably heard me say, and before I do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time to share with these people, Father. I thank you for the message you've given me, Father. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing to help me share it in the allotted time I have here, Father. And I thank you, Father, for blessing your people and blessing your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What did I do with my water? Oh, here it is. I have my dentist. When I go to the dentist, she says, get my teeth cleaned. She says I have dry mouth. And I've tried that stuff. I don't know what to call it. It doesn't work. Anyway, it doesn't work. So anyway. Praise the Lord. You know, you've heard me talk about, probably heard me talk about presence of Jesus, being born again and getting saved, prepares us for heaven, allows us to go to heaven. But the principles of Jesus, or the laws or the principles, they allow us to be successful here. Principles are for us here. And what's amazing is, after ministering and leading, praying with lots of people, rodeo cowboys and rant, whatever, it's amazing that the amount of people, the number of people that don't know. They know they're saved, they know they're going to heaven, but they don't know the principles of Jesus. To be honest with you, I know a lot of those principles and everything, but I don't know that, I was thinking about this the other day, I don't know that I could cite the Ten Commandments. I mean, I think I might get them all in there, but I might miss one, you know. But Jesus' principle, you know, God gave us the Ten Commandments. And then along came Jesus, and Jesus, of course, fulfilled the law, but he also added to it. His principles and stuff were in addition to. So I'm going to share with you this morning some of Jesus' principles. If that's what allows us to be successful in this life, then I think it's important that we know them. We know what they are, some of them. And so if you'll turn really quickly, I'm just going to read one scripture to the book of John, chapter 8. You know this, but I want to read it. Most of these you'll know, but I'm going to read them anyway. And in chapter 8 and verse 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, or you could say if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray this. Let's pray. Repeat after me. There's a little prayer here in my Bible. Jesus, as I abide in your word and grow as your disciple, I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. Isn't that wonderful? We'll know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there's people looking for truth at all these universities. They're not going to find it there. Unless there's a campus crusade for Christ or something. And so anyway, so it says if we continue in His Word, and we are His disciples, then we'll know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Let's look at some of Jesus' principles. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, and these are found in the Sermon on the Mount, or otherwise known as the Beatitudes. And what are some of the principles that He laid out here? And I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to just kind of go with the heading. But the first one is murder. And He says, "You have heard that it has been said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' but whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say," that's what the Old Testament said, the Ten Commandments. "But I say," but He adds to it, "but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." So He added to it, if you're even angry at someone, now it says without a cause. So maybe you have a cause. I don't know. I'm not trying to interpret or read into this. I'm just reading what Jesus said. So I don't know exactly what that means, without a cause. Okay. The next one is adultery. And He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you," so he's adding on to that, "you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, I wonder why they always put that on the men. I know women that lust after men, you know. I wasn't really aware of this, but an older Christian woman told me one time she didn't think it was appropriate for men to be out jogging with their shirt off, not having a shirt on. When she's younger, she said it caused her to lust. See, but nobody thinks, women don't think about that. Man, just jogging down there, got nothing, little running shorts on, you know. So they can both go both ways. That's just my comments. Next principle, marriage. "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." You know, in the Old Testament, they said all you had to do is, you didn't have to do nothing, you just ride, set her shoes out on the doorstep. That's it. there might have been something else that went with that. Did they teach you any of that, David, at Regent? You were probably majoring in something else, I don't know. So I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Now, there's a lot of people who fall in that category. Anyway, of course, like I've always said, you know, the culture changes. The culture changes. But God doesn't change. And then Jesus, the next one, Jesus forbids oaths. "Again, I say to you, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven or by her, or by God's throne." And then it goes on to say, instead of an oath, it says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." That's simple enough. That's good enough. Yes or no. Now it's so complicated. No, you know, you used to be a man, you know, as good as his word. You know, so you write contracts. Do a contract. Get your expensive lawyer and do a contract. But then they even get out of the contract. You know, it ain't any good. You know, so man's word's not good. His contract's not good. And he's not good. Or she. Okay, and then let's go down this next one. Jesus said, "But you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whosoever slaps you on your right cheek," now I had a hard with that thing, with that one, "but turn to him the other one." I did one time. I missed that last word, hold on. "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too." That was, I think, a soldier, you know, if a Roman soldier come up told you to carry his pack, and you know, it was a law, I think, that you had to carry it a mile. But Jesus said, no, that's not good enough. You can go ahead and carry it 2 miles. A little more. Give a little more. What are you doing? You're pouring hot coals on that Roman soldier's head. Hey, I'll carry it another mile. Right? Any of you ever poured hot coals on somebody, soften them? Be nice to them? They were, you know. Well, it's marriage seminar and a Christian outfit deal. Wife heard that. She went home. Her husband's in the bathtub. She went and poured a hot kettle of hot water on him. I don't think that's what the preacher meant. But anyway, so, and then we get down to the next one. Love your enemies. Now, some of these are pretty hard. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. A good thing to remember, we're all going to have fights and, you know, and one thing, I wrote me a little list the other day, but, you know, things I need to do myself. Don't talk so much. Pretty good bunch of stuff, you know. And then one of them was, you know, don't argue. You don't have to be right. And this is for me. I just going down the list, you know. Don't tell everything. Word says a fool utters all he knows. And then one of the last ones is don't fight with people. Don't be confrontational. And you know, so I'll blurt. I was at a rodeo here, Texas Senior Rodeo. I wasn't competing. I was just there. Went down to see some friends. There was a guy that really good cowboy, has been for a long time. Roped calves really good, and then but he just team ropes now. And I walked up to him. He's sitting on his horse, and I said, I didn't think anything about it. I've known him for a long time, but I said, and he's team roping. I said, do you like team roping? He's team roping, so obviously I did. But I said, do you like team roping? And he kind of looked at me like funny, and it made him kind of made him mad. And I said, well, I just wondered. You don't rope calves anymore, and he roped calves really good. Well, he says, well, both my knees are gone, and so then I found out why he didn't rope calves. But I offended him just by going over, and you know, he was offended, and you know, once you offend somebody, it's pretty hard to, you know, he probably look at me kind of hard next time I see him. But I didn't mean anything by it. But anyways, we get on down here and it says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? So, and then the next one is praying. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and out in the corners of the streets. So don't do that. He says, you know, go into your prayer room, closet, shut the door, and pray there, not to be seen, but God sees. And then the next one, of course, fasting. Don't make it a big deal. Go around looking dirty and not shaved, and people know you're fasting. Just do it. Do it unto the God. And then we get over to this one here. It says in verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, and or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, money is an important thing. Money will help you buy things for your kids, but not so much to spoil them. But, you know, you can help your family, and you can help the poor, and one thing or another. Poverty is not good, but, you know. But also, I think the word is avarice. Anybody know what the word avarice means? You look like you probably know. Do you know what the word avarice means? Greed. It means greed. Greed. I had a fellow tell me one time, and he was supposed to be a Bible smart, knew a lot of the Bible. And he told me, he said, well, money's the root of all evil. And I said, where does it say that? Yeah. I said, where does it say that? Well, I don't know, but it's in there. His wife told me he was really a Bible thumper. I said, well, the Bible says the love of money is... Well, what was he telling? He was using what I call grandfather theology. I've always heard that, you know. Okay, so then we get down to verse 25. It's one of my favorite verses. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You know, worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. Being anxious is a sin. Why? Because we're not trusting God. He goes on to say, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to have a drink. And don't worry about what you'll put on. Is your life not more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap and gather into barns. I was watching the birds. I have two bird baths, one in my backyard and one in the front. And now that spring, all these birds showed up. And the ones that's so special to me, because we didn't have them in New Mexico when I grew up. Never saw one. They're my favorite bird, cardinals, a red cardinal. But they show up at my house. And every time one of them lands on the fence or in the tree or on that bird bath, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that cardinal over here to see me. And there's yellow birds and there's little sparrows. And I'll have that. I love to watch them. That bird bath is there and got a little water. Now, I got to get the water just right. If it's too high up toward the top, they won't get in it. They won't bathe in it. If it's too low, then they can't drink it. So what they do, if it's low, they get in it, and boy, I mean, they take a bath, and it's funny, you get about six of them in there, and I mean, they're splashing the water everywhere. It's just wonderful to watch them. So I make sure that I keep my bird baths, you know, they're not piped in water. I got to put a hose and, you know. Anyway, it's funny. So, but God takes care of them. God feeds them. You just think about all the birds, and God feeds them every day. Takes care of them. Well, he loves us more. He'll feed us. And so then we get down and talks about clothing and the lilies. Why you worry about your clothing? Lilies are clothed as much or prettier. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Wherefore, do not worry. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, or the ungodly, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You know, most of the things that we worry about haven't happened. And more likely, they're not going to happen. We worry about them. And fear, you know, there's two kinds of fear. There's fear, for example, that will save your life. Somebody's after you with a gun or a knife and you start running. I mean, the fear, the adrenaline that comes... It'll save your life. There's that fear. There's the fear that if you don't work, you might starve. In fact, the Bible says, anybody doesn't work, they don't get no food. So that'll make you get out and do something. You're afraid. But this dread. The dread is another kind of fear of something's going to happen to you, or your family, or whoever. Job had that problem. Job had that problem. He was afraid for his kids. And I've always said this, fear, that type of fear is just... For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now what he's talking about there is basically a judgment in our heart. We may not say anything about it, but I'm judging you. You know, I know you. I know what you're like. We don't tell anybody, but we're judging that person. And it says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And it talks about speck in your eye and your brother's eye and everything. But I have an illustration. Now, I pulled out 4 foot. That's 4 foot. And I see this fella doing something I don't like. I don't think's right. You know, a lot of times the things that we think and think are not correct. We think because we're a Christian, we can think anything we want, and it's right. Well, it may not be right. So I judge him, and I judge that person this measurement right here that much. And one day, I do something real stupid. I get drunk and wreck my truck. And guess what? All my friends, neighbors, and everything, that amount of judgment's coming back to me. It's a reciprocity. Okay? That's what's happened. The same measure, that's what he said, same measure that I measure, the judgment that I measure, I'm going to be judged by somebody. It's coming back. Not necessarily God. I'm going to be judged by other people I know and whatever. By the same token, that same person that wrecked his truck, got drunk, I decide I'm going to measure out four foot of mercy. Instead of judgment, I'm going to measure out mercy. You know, the Bible says that we're not supposed to expose other people's sins. First thing, somebody does something and we go tell somebody. No, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to hide his sin. Now, if it's somebody in the church that says, you're not supposed to tell, go to him yourself. Or go to her yourself. Say, hey, what you're doing, that's the judging that we can do to other believers. So that same measure of mercy, straighten up her, is going to be measured back to me. I'm going to have, if I measure out mercy, that same amount of mercies, somebody, several people, a whole bunch of people, God is going to see that measure is measured back to me. Isn't that good? You ever seen that before? That's what they call that in grade school, show and tell. Oh, man, it's been so long since I've been in school. so we get down to it's the last part of chapter 7. Jesus says, this is Jesus talking. You know, we love Jesus, right? You love Jesus? He loved us. We love him. Okay, well then we ought to love what he said. And we should love and do what he said to do. Yeah, we might fail, but hey, that's the reason we have God's mercy and God's grace. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings what we were talking about? The sayings of Jesus. The principles of Jesus. And he says, so therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is not talking about housing projects. He's talking about lives. He's talking about people's lives. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? It says, because it was founded on the rock. What was the rock? The sayings of Jesus. Not just Jesus, but his sayings, what he told us to do, what he said to do. We build our life, that's the foundation. Jesus and what he said. The commandments he gave us. But everyone who hears these sayings, how many of you believe, I hope you don't, but there's a lot of the church that believes that this is talking about storms, trials and difficulties coming into people's lives. Now Jesus said, great, many other tribulations, but the Lord will deliver us from them all. So we're going to have troubles. We're always going to have troubles. The more you serve God, the bigger your assignment is from God, the more you're going to have troubles. Because you got a target on you. The devil don't like what you're doing. Okay? If you're sitting around, you're not doing much for the Lord, you're not ministering whatever, probably you're not going to be attacked much. You're not much of a threat. But when you step out, start a church, start a ministry, step out into the world, start ministering to ungodly people, the devil don't like it. Anyway, so he goes on to say, will be the one that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, And the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, he's talking about lives. So this person didn't make it. He may even be talking about he didn't make heaven. He didn't make heaven. He might have maybe went to hell, because it says, and great was his fall. Now, if you're of that person that believes that, there's a lot of people believe that the storms that come to us and everything are actually designed to make us stronger and better in the faith. But that's not true, and that's not what he's saying. If that's true, if it's going to make us stronger, it'd say, well, the wind came and the blew and everything, and the foundation was poured and the house raised up and it stood. But it didn't say that. See, the storm didn't make it any stronger. It wrecked it. It knocked it over. Terrible. Okay? So that isn't true. Same storm came to both trials and the trials. I'm going to talk about humans. The trials and tribulations came to both people. One of them made it, one of them didn't. The person that made it was the one that was a doer of God's word, of Jesus, and not just a hearer only. And so, now I want to read, let me find it. Here it is right here. There's seven more principles that I want to share with you. These are in addition to those on the Sermon on the Mount. But they apply to the, and most of them I can give you the scripture reference for it. But the first one I want to mention is the principle of use. And we hear about that, the principle of use, in Jesus' message on the parable of the talents. Where the master gave three men so much money and everything, and the one that didn't use his, you know, the principle of use, you got to use it, okay? And he didn't do anything. What Jesus said, you wicked and slothful servant. So he didn't observe the principle that Jesus taught of use. Use what you have. And also, the illustration had been used that if you want bigger muscles, you got to use the ones you got. Exercise what you have. Use it or lose it is the term, I believe. That's what I've always said. Use it or lose it. And so, by the way, in talking about that, you know, nothing stays static. Our faith does not stay static. It doesn't stay the same. It's either going up or down. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, so we keep hearing the Word of God. And we also step out and exercise our faith by believing God for things, or health, or healing, or a new home, or whatever it may be. And so we want to increase. In other words, when we use the law, the principle of use, the law of use, we increase. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. God, that's the way God made us, to be more, to do more. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, and I don't know where it is, but you can look it up. God says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. In other words, God wants to bless us, give us. When I was working for CBN, some of you new people, I don't know, but I worked for Christian Broadcasting Network for 12 years. I was Pat Robertson's representative in Texas, and plus preaching my own ministry and stuff, so I was busy, but... And Pat shared this story. How many of you know who Pat Robertson is? Yeah, most of you. Some people don't. You know. I'll ask young people over that period of time. I'd ask young people. You're what, 700 Club? No, never heard of it. Been on TV for 64 years now. So longest running TV show there is. Anyway, Pat shared this story. I'll see if I can get it right. It's really good. There was a man that came in to see Napoleon. And so his secretary, Napoleon's secretary, whoever it was, just let him in. He comes in, and this man, Napoleon, says, what can I do for you? And he says, I want this country. And I can't remember what it was. This is a true story. I want this country, and I can't remember what it was, Trafalgar or something. I think it was an island or something, but it was a country. And Napoleon just got his pen, and he wrote out and said, here, it's yours. And he left, and his secretary came in and says to Napoleon, do you know what you just did? You gave that man a country. Napoleon says, I was blessed by the size of his request. So what does that tell us about God? says, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much will our Heavenly Father, how much more will He give to us? So He wants us to increase. That's the first commandment that God gave in the garden. You know, in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply. That was the first commandment God gave. the principle of reciprocity, better known as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, let's see, what would I like? You know, people, there's been this, I bet you all have experienced, have done this. Walk down the street, people coming to meet you, and and kind of frown. Don't look at them real, you know, and look back at you the same way. Smile. Don't ask anything, just smile. Most of them smile back at you. That's the principle of reciprocity. What you sow, it's coming back to you. And but it's also known as the golden rule. And of course, and that ties into Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Show men given to your bosom. And then there's the some of these I don't really like. I thought I had something in my ear. the law of the principle of responsibility. Oh, that's a good one. There's rewards and penalties for that one. There's rewards. We're going to have rewards. We're going to be penalties. You know, what'd you do? And and that's found in the scriptures. There's two. I'm not going to read them. But, you know, that you can go back to much is given. To whom much is given, much is required. And and I've told stories about, you know, children, kids, young people that grew up in church hearing the Word of God. They know a lot. And they're required of a lot. And some of them die and die early. Yeah. Not God. I mean, God that took him out. It was the devil. One example, he's gone, but Sean McMullen. Champion cow for a calf rover. Could have been such a witness. Grew up in church. Folks love the Lord dearly. But he's gone. The devil got him out of the way. When he could have been so much. You know, he was rodeo's fan favorite cowboy for like 3 years. But he wasn't living for God. Jacking up with women, just living. He knew better. And he knew he was doing that because, you know, right before he got killed, he spent quite a bit of time with Jerry Martin, a preacher on the rodeo circuit. And so I think that Sean knew something, you know, in a sense, you know. So to whom much is given, much is required. And our gifts, the gifts that God gives us, they're not recalled. They're going to be with us all. It's just a matter of what we do with them. What's our gift? What's our gift that God gives us to use for Him? Okay, so then there's the principle of greatness. The principle of greatness, and that an example of that is at the Passover meal, when one of the disciples, or was it two of them, asked if they could sit next to Jesus in heaven, and what did he say? He said, "The servant who you serve, the servant is greater, is the greater one." And this is the fifth one, only a couple more. Anyway, I wrote down the principle of miracles, and that is using your faith. Using your faith. Of course, there's two kinds of faith. There's two kinds of faith. There's a faith that God's given to every man, that measure of faith. Okay, but what we do with that is we exercise it and it grows. We get more, okay? But then there's the other kind of faith that is, it's a supernatural, and that is the gift of faith. That will come on someone that they're able to do, you know, supernatural things that don't normally happen. Like, and I believe that raising the dead falls under that, you know, because Jesus said we'd do that. But I believe it's the gift of faith. Most people don't have that kind of faith. They hadn't exercised it or whatever. Smith Wigglesworth had that amount of faith. He grabbed them corpses and hold them up against the wall. And they'd fall down, and he'd lift them up again. And finally, they'd blink their eyes and come back to life. But Glenn Smith had the gift of faith, of believing for things. I mean, he'd believe for something. And I mean, a week or two, it'd show up, you know, ministry. And number six is the principle of perseverance, patience. And in James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy, my brother, when you encounter trials, tests, and tribulations, knowing this, that your patience, perseverance, let it do its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So if we allow our patience to, our perseverance to persevere. Another thing that happens when you have patience, you persevere, it gives the devil to show his hand. It gives time the devil time to show his hand. Because if there's something wrong in what you're believing or something you're believing for, whatever, maybe a maid or something, and there's some deception there, some deception in it, the devil's going to show his hand because he can't keep his mouth shut. He's going to show up, and you know, then you know. Okay. And the last one I'm going to share there is the principle of fidelity that Jesus talked about. And basically, that faith, fidelity is faithfulness, to be faithful. To be faithful to God and faithful to your wife, your husband, to be faithful. And I got one other thing that I wanted to share with you. And we're doing good. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. We were right there, but go back to chapter 5. Okay, somebody, I'm going to get some help here. Let's see. It's a scripture. It's in chapter 5. I know it is. Jesus says, here it is right here. Okay, I found it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Verse 21. All right, good. Chapter 5, verse 21. And Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, that's a hard scripture. That's a hard word. Lord, we've done all these things. I built this large ministry. I mean, we did great things in your name. We did, you know. And so you say, how could somebody do that and not be a believer and go to hell? Have you ever wondered that? You ever read that scripture and say, man, how could that be? Have you? Anybody? I mean, I have a song I sing about it. Y'all ever heard me sing that song? I know you have. About the three men, Jack Campaign, John L. Good, John L. Jones, and what was the last one? He's a righteous man. Greatest cricket player ever played in England. Wealthy. C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd. That's the third man. Anyway, sing a song. And anyway, I'm not going to sing it for you. But if you ever want me to sing it to you, I will. I want to read to you. This is a Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Jack Hayford is the editor. And I want to read to you, might clear something up, his commentary. I've often wondered, how could one man know all this? You read his commentary all through this Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and anything, you know, I don't understand, and I'm reading my daily reading or something, I'm going to go see what Jack had to say about it. You know who Jack Hayford is. pastor of church on the way, and I think in Los Angeles or whatever, many of the, Pat Boone, a lot of the stars went to church there. But this is what he says. Jesus warns against self-deception. A mere verbal profession of lordship without obedience to the will of God. It is even possible for a self-deluded person to exercise a spectacular ministry using the authority of the Scriptures and of the name of Jesus without walking in genuine, obedient discipleship. Now, that right there sums up why it is important that we continue in the Word, that we know Jesus' principles. Why? So that we're just the number of people. Jesus, what did he say? He said, narrow is the way that leads to life. And few find it. You know, why? They were never disciples. They did these wonderful things in Jesus' name. They weren't doers of the Word. Therefore, they couldn't be doers of the work. So people that pray, Lord, be my Savior, you know, but then don't follow up, do anything after that. They're not a disciple. They, you know, like he says here, a mere verbal profession. And then nothing after that? Ain't going to work. I'm going to close with one more scripture. Turn to James chapter 1. Is the meat burning up? Okay. James chapter 1 is right after Hebrews. Very familiar scripture, but goes right along with what I've been sharing today. Of course, he starts out in chapter 1 and in verse 1, count it all joy. I already said, you know, my brethren, that, you know, when you encounter trials and tests and stuff, knowing this, it's, you know, that your faith produces patience, that the testing of your faith produces patience. And but let patience have its perfect work, so you'll be entire, lacking nothing. Isn't that a good news? We'll lack nothing. I had a real dear friend, preacher, preached for years, Larry Smith, lives in Arkansas. He's 80 years old now. Can't believe that. We're close to the same age. And Larry worked for the mob in Fort Smith at one time. He was a heavyweight champion, Golden Gloves champion in 5 states. And he worked for the mob there in Fort Smith and collected money for him and sent him around. Larry, send Larry around to shoot people and knife them or whatever. And I met Larry. I was in Cheyenne at the rodeo, Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I had 2 horses with me, and they had gotten out of the stalls, and I couldn't find them. And I looked for them around Cheyenne. That's a big rodeo ground. And I'd look for them, couldn't find them. And then it was the next day, and somebody hollered at me and said, "Hey, Dennis, they found your horses." And I mean, just out of my mouth, I said, "Praise the Lord!" You know, just real loud. Well, Larry Smith was from Arkansas. And, of course, he got on dope and alcohol and everything when he was living a wicked life and working for the mob. And he just decided he was going to end it all. Went up on a mountaintop and he's going to kill himself. He went up there and everything. And he get up there and he starts crying and everything. And he said, and it's so funny, he didn't know how to read. He'd never read. Now, he was a good athlete, so they passed him into school. And he was up there, he's going to try and decide how he's going to kill himself. Maybe he had a gun. But he said, God spoke to him. He said, "You have quit drinking." And he thought he was going crazy. So he went down off the mountain and he found this little church and he went in to this pastor and he told him what it, and that pastor thought he was crazy and told him, "Well, I want to talk to you." Well, he went to the rodeo that night and he didn't like anybody. Larry hated everybody. You'd give him a wrong look and he'd knock you out. And he was riding around in the arena exercising his horse before the rodeo and he just started loving everybody. And he thought, "I haven't been smoking any weed or nothing, and I can't figure out why I'm acting this way, you know." And well, he finally found out that he had gotten saved. So he came to Cheyenne. He was going to get all the cowboys saved. He didn't know there was any other Christians in the world. Well, he gets up there, and he hears me. He's over there, and he hears me say, "Praise the Lord." God's attention. So later that day, I was riding my horses, and this guy comes walking up toward me. He's a big fella, pretty good size, and he got on dark sunglasses and a ball cap. And he just put his hand up like that and said, "Hey, would you stop?" Like that, and I said, "Yeah, I'll stop." And he said, "I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Get down off that horse. I need to talk to you." And so we became really good friends, and then we both were part of Glenn Smith's ministry, Rodeo Cowboy Ministries. And I hadn't seen Larry in 30 years. And what he did is he preached it mostly in the southeastern rodeos in southeastern United States. And then after he quit preaching, he had a little ranch up there in the hills out north of Fort Smith. And he was a boxer, so he started a boxing camp for inner city kids. Black kids, Mexican kids, white kids, whatever. And he'd take them over and he trained them to box. And his ministry then, he had New Testament paperback Bible that said, had a boxer on the front, said, "Fight the good fight of faith." And he was hilarious. I let Jim and Ron listen. He called me just the other day and says, "Dennis," he'll call me and say, "Dennis McKinley," like that. He's real southern. And he says, "God gave me a word for you." It's a pretty good word, wasn't it? And I'm trying to figure out what it means, but anyway, so we met him and we got to be friends and ministered together. And we'd tell each other, "I'm not a preacher, I'm just a witness," because we didn't want to be in full-time ministry, you know. And he said, "Yeah, me too, I'm just..." Anyway, I hadn't seen him in 30 years, so when I was working for CBN, they gave me that part of that territory, all of Oklahoma and then part of Arkansas. So it'd been so long since I'd seen him. So I went by. He's 80 years old, and his health's not good. He's gotten heavy and everything. But we hooked back up, and I sent him gifts just because he's not ministering now. He's kind of a chaplain of one of them boxing organizations. But he called me here a while back, and I don't know where I was at here, but I tell him a story about Larry Smith. He called me and he says, "Dennis, I was praying for you the other day and I asked God what you needed." And he said, "And God told me you didn't need anything." I said, "Well, I'm not sure if that was God or not." But anyway, I'm over here in James chapter 1. All right, here we go. Therefore, lay aside, verse 21, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22, "And be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," what is that? The Word. Perfect law of liberty is the Word of God. "And continues in it," Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples, and you'll know the truth sets you free." "Is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." So what happened to the fellow where Jesus said, "I never knew you"? He didn't continue in the Word. He wasn't a doer of the Word. So here we have here, you look in the mirror, you know what you look like, and then you walk away, and you're looking at the Word, but then you don't do it. You don't step out and do it, and you forget what it said, and it's to no effect, and nothing for you. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your Word. That, Lord God, that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In all of it, Lord, the whole counsel of God, what you've commanded us to do and told us to do, your principles, that we will have success in this life. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you, Father, for that. And thank you for this time here sharing with these folks. In Jesus' name. Now I want to ask you a question. I'm going to leave here. I'm not going to leave or close it. There may be somebody here that's never received Jesus. If you'd close your eyes and bow your head, I'd appreciate it. If you're sitting here, would you close your eyes, please, and bow your head? Thank you. I don't want anyone looking around. It's not what we're ashamed, but, you know, might be somebody beside you that... If you've never prayed, and... You know, Jesus said two things to assure us of salvation. Two things. He said, repent, turn around, go the other way, repent, and believe the good news. That's all. Repent and believe the good news. What's the good news? The gospel. He traded me all my bad for His good. We're justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Anyone, raise your hand if you've never prayed and received Jesus as your Savior. Anyone? Let me ask you this. You think you prayed? I've asked a lot of people. Are you sure you're going to heaven? And so many of them would say this. I hope so. You can't get there on hope so. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, this have I written to you so that you may know that if you have the Son of God, you have life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Okay, anyone? Anyone? Not sure of your salvation? Not 100? Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? That Jesus say, come on in. Didn't say I didn't ever knew, never knew you. Okay. Just keep your eyes closed. I think God wants maybe to do some personal prayer ministry. Is anyone sitting here that's discouraged? You've been discouraged. You'd like prayer for discouragement. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. And see, we're going to release the power of God because we're going to pray. All right, all those that raise their hands, that you're discouraged right now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand that is discouraged right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for touching them, Lord God, that you are the encourager. You're the ultimate encourager, Father God. Hallelujah. They are your children. And I ask you to speak to them, to give them a word, Father God, to make them happy, to just loose joy upon them. Just as you said in James 1, count it all joy when you encounter trials and tests. Hallelujah. So I thank you for answering that prayer, Father. Thank you, Father, for coming to them. Coming to them, even in the nighttime hours, Lord, because you said joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, when that just that joy comes over you, you got to tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're through. Hallelujah. Thank you.